Who here likes leftovers? Well, I'll change your mind about that. That wasn't exactly how you're supposed to respond. My mom, she'd always say, what was for dinner? You know, I'd come in, what's for dinner, Mom? And she'd go, fried chicken, yeah! Or, what's for dinner, Mom? Lasagna, yeah! We didn't have quite the same response when she was like, leftovers. You ever had the Jimmy John's? So good and fresh, you know. I like that stuff. And then I like, you know, I can't quite muscle all this down. I'm going to put some in the fridge for tomorrow. Gag puke. Have you ever tried that? It is bad stuff. You pull it out and like, the inside's all soggy and nasty because that mayonnaise is still there and the lettuce is brown and the outside's all crunchy and nasty. It's just like, oh, this was so good just a day ago, and it's just not good today. My wife hates leftover lasagna because it's got the noodles get hard, right? Or the leftover salad, everything gets mushy and yucky. Leftovers. Got a good friend named John Berger who does international ministry out of our campus house on Friday nights. Great guy. And you know, one of his main ministries is that he actually goes around town and he picks up furniture that people don't want anymore and delivers, he fixes it up and he delivers it to international students that don't have anything. And you think, oh, that's so sweet. Do you know how hard of a job that is, picking up people's used furniture? First of all, it's heavy and awkward and just a burden, but you get this couch home. You probably have done this. You've probably done the dumpster dive thing, right, where you're going around campus and you're like, hey, that's a cool couch. We could use that for our apartment. And you drag that thing in, and it weighs like 2 tons, and it's banging up the wall and everything else, and you finally get it in, and you realize that it stinks like someone spilled 3 gallons of beer on it like last September, and it just reeks of beer. That's leftovers. Am I changing your mind yet? Clothes. All of us think that we've got good leftover clothes, right? We're like, somebody's going to be real happy to get these jewels. And you pull these off the closet, you're like, I can't wear them anymore, but I'm going to go down. It just would be wrong for me to throw these away, of course, and we're just always like patting ourselves on the back, and we're like, we're going to give some good clothes to people. And it looks real good, even though you put it in that black garbage bag. It's still, you know it's good inside. And you take it down to the Goodwill, and they take it from you, and you've ever been in that back room before they sort it, and they throw it onto that heap, and you just know all of a sudden your clothes just become reality of what they really are. It is a mass of cloth that has been in somebody's or around somebody's stinky body for months, and it is something they've sweated for a long time, and you're like, yuck. And as it gets on that pile, you properly realize what it is. It isn't quite the gift that you probably thought it was. It's so much nicer to get new clothes, new furniture, and a fresh meal. I want to tell you tonight that God hates leftovers. God hates leftovers. Not because he just wants to eat up your food, or sit in your furniture, or wear your clothes. God hates leftovers because he knows that in the long run, it is affecting you. Our God wants to give you the best. And what he says all the way through Scripture is this principle that we're going to talk about tonight. If you give me, this is God talking, if you give me your best, I will make it better. If you give me your best, your all, I will make it more. I am that kind of a God that wants to give back to you in large and great ways. And so I have taught this concept for a long, long time. I can't quite put tangible wrapping on this kind of a thing, but I know this fact. When somebody is seeking a boyfriend or a girlfriend with all their heart, you end up feeling like it's not quite satisfying or fulfilling. But when you decide at some point in your life that God is worth being the number one relationship, and you pour your life into Him, and you say, God, You are number one to me. I'm giving my first love to You. Do you know what ends up happening so often? You end up getting a tap on the shoulder, and you turn around and you're like, where have you been all my life, love? God gives you things when you make Him the priority. It is a principle that we can take in almost every area of our life. And so tonight, we're going to celebrate. God gave us a feast we're talking about the feast of the Old Testament, if you haven't heard of this. Leviticus chapter 23 gives a list of these seven different festivals or feasts that people are supposed to follow. Now, it's kind of funny. They call them all feasts, but they're not all about food. This is one of those. We've already covered two. Can anyone tell me what the first one was? Passover. Can anyone tell me what number two was? Unleavened bread. And those two happened back to back. We kind of talked about last week how they were really tied together, kind of attached at the hip. Remember that? And Passover would always happen on, first of all, let me name the feast tonight. It's called First Fruits. And I think it's important for us to understand the timing of these feasts. Does anyone, this might be a tough one, I know I mentioned it the last couple weeks, does anyone remember the date in which Passover, it was the month of Nisan on what day? 15, that's right. Right, very close. 14th they had to bring the lamb in or something and kill it or whatever, but there's preparations, but 15th. And the following day was the unleavened bread. And so you know the dates, if you're a Jew, of those first two feasts. But the third one isn't on a same date, because as we know, dates can fall on different days, right? The 15th could fall on a Monday, it could fall on a Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday or Friday. But what we know is that the Feast of First Fruits, the one that we're covering tonight, always came after Passover, after that Sabbath day. Now, in a Jewish household, they would celebrate the Sabbath on a Saturday, okay? And so if Passover was the 15th happened to be a Monday, then we know unleavened bread would be a Tuesday. And we know the Sabbath would be in a few days on a Saturday. And the first day after the Sabbath would be the Feast of First Fruits. Okay? And that could be any other day as well. But you know any number day as well. But it's not on the same number. It's always the following day after the Sabbath. We need to understand that. Okay? Following that? Okay. All through Scripture, we have this idea of first fruits. And I really like what it says here. The first fruits were always the choicest, the foremost, the first, the best, the preeminent of all that was to follow. It is the best. So here's what first fruits was. God says, your culture would not be in existence if it weren't for a crop or a harvest. We are a bit removed from that kind of thinking. I mean, the harvest happens and we got farmers out west doing that kind of thing. We know they just get us food and it gets to the grocery store and we go buy it. That's all we know. But there was a time when everybody's life hinged upon the harvest. I mean, we need a harvest or we will die. And the barley harvest was a very important harvest. And what would happen every year is God would require a sheaf of barley. I guess that's like a section of barley, a piece of barley. And he would require them to bring this piece of barley down to the temple. And then they would have to wave it before the Lord. It's called a wave offering. Not like the other offerings. This was a wave offering. It was like, here you go, God. We're giving our first and foremost to you. And it happened to be, this was always in the spring, and it happened to be a time when God would always know that the first harvest was here, and people would take their first fruits, and they would bring it to the Lord, and they would wave it before the Lord in hopes that even more blessing would come their way by offering this to God. Now, here's what we got to get out of our head. You got to get this out of your head, because I know what's in your head and I know what's in my head. This is the idea that we have of God. He is an angry God on the other side of the clouds with his arms folded. And he is waiting for you to see if you are going to offer up some kind of a sacrifice to him that will appease him, and he will allow you to have the other 90%. Right? That's how we think about tithing. That's how we think about that's how we think about studying. Oh, God, I know I didn't do really good there, but if I do this, maybe then you can help me with this. And we're always kind of bargaining with God. God, if I offer this to you and I go to church every week for a little while, then will you help me get an A in this class, or will you help me meet this one girl, or will you make me... And we're just kind of doing this whole thing. We're just like bargaining with God. And we get in that mindset. This is not... Take that and throw it away. God is not saying, appease me. God is stooping down and he's whispering in your ear this message. I'm on your team. I want you to be successful. I want you to be fruitful. I want there to be a lot of success in your life and in your people. I want you to give me your best. I'll make it better. I want you to give me your all. I'll make it more. I'm your God. Bring me an offering. Wave it before me. See what I will do. This is first fruits. Okay? Let's read it. Don't trust me. Let's just read it. Make sure we are reading the word. So again, we're back in Leviticus. This is where the whole list of all the feasts are. And this is the this is the third one. It says, the Lord said to Moses, speak to the Israelites and say to them, when you enter the land that I am going to give you and you reap its harvest, bring to the priest a sheaf of the first grain of your harvest. First grain you harvest. Okay, sorry. He is to wave the sheaf. See, I'm not lying here, guys. I'm not lying. Wave the sheaf before the Lord so it will be accepted on your behalf. The priest is to wave it on the day after the Sabbath. There it is, clearly spelled out for us. Again, a little review. We know that the year Jesus died, things lined up in more than a peculiar way. The Lord had intentionally put these feasts in place for thousands of years before Jesus came on the scene. And it just so happened that the year that he dies, Passover falls on a Friday, very rarely. Did it fall on a Friday? Some people say they think that this might be the only year that it did fall on a Friday. Why did it fall on a Friday? Because the Passover lamb that they would kill and put on a doorpost was demonstrated by Jesus himself, who was the Lamb of God who died and his blood was on a post. That happened on that Friday. And as we studied last week, unleavened bread, where you take this dry, broken cracker that is without sin, without yeast, and you break it and you wrap it and bury it, demonstrating Jesus, who was perfect and who was without sin, was broken and wrapped and buried, happened the day after, which would have been a Sabbath day, but it also would have been Feast of Unleavened Bread. And on Feast of Unleavened Bread, it just so happens that he is wrapped and buried and died, or and in this tomb. Weird, huh? Now, here's what's just mind-blowing to me. The day after the Sabbath, is the first day that we celebrate Feast of First Fruits. It's the day that we celebrate something that's come up out of the ground, and we wave it before the Lord, and we say, this is the first of its kind. Would you bring in more of a harvest that is just like it? And Jesus, who comes up out of the ground, the first one to ever be resurrected, the first one to ever have new life that will be forever and ever, stands before the Lord as a wave offering to him and says, I'll be the first one. I'm waiting for the rest of the harvest to come in, that it's going to be just like me. Who's in? Do you want to be that? The Lord wants to bring in a greater harvest than just his own son. Do you realize, when I read this again, the first fruits were always the choicest, the foremost, the first, the best, the preeminent. Jesus was God's first fruit. He was his firstborn. He was everything to God. God did not give us leftovers, people. He gave us the best. And he offered it to us. And because of the day after the Sabbath, his resurrection being on that day, it is no mistake that he is the first fruits that we are to follow. Don't believe me? Let's read 1 Corinthians. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first of a great harvest. In the NIV, that says first fruits of all who have died. So you see, just as death came into the world through a man, now the resurrection from the dead has begun through another man. Just as everyone dies because we all belong to Adam, everyone who belongs to Christ will be given new life. But there is an order to this resurrection. Christ was raised as the first of the harvest. Then all who belong to Christ will be raised when he comes back. Beautiful. Beautiful. Those 3 days on that particular year, those three feasts happened to line up in 3 exact days. On Jesus' death, on Jesus' burial, on Jesus' resurrection. If you're not a believer, I want you to know that that's as God as we've got. He is not trying to hide things from us. But we are people that have perhaps looked the other way because we don't really want to have a God that's going to tell us what not to do. And I get that. But if you're not a believer here, I challenge you to really think about how this is not a coincidence and how the Lord is on your side and he's here for you. He wants to bless you. He wants to give to you. He wants relationships for you. This is the thing that I try to communicate to my kids. I'm trying to communicate to you students. I'm on your side. Sometimes I tell you, you shouldn't have a boyfriend or a girlfriend, but I'm not saying that because I don't like boyfriends and girlfriends. It's because I want you to have one that's going to be healthy and right and long-term. And I want you to have a marriage like I've got. And I know that God wants those same things. He's that kind of same kind of God when it comes to whatever it might be that you need to make a first fruit to the Lord. Relationships, I know, rings a bell, so that's why I'm harping on that one. But there's a lot of other areas as well. Let's read one more text from the Old Testament. It kind of gives an example of giving a first fruit, okay? This is what God said. He ordered the people living in Jerusalem to give a portion due to the priests and Levites. Well, they are the spiritual leaders. so that they could devote themselves to the law of the Lord. And as soon as the order went out, the Israelites generously gave the first fruits of their grain, new wine, olive oil, and honey, and all that the fields produced. They brought a great amount, a tithe of everything. The people of Israel and Judah, who lived in the towns of Judah, also brought a tithe of their herds and flocks, and a tithe of the holy things dedicated to the Lord, their God, and they piled them in heaps. We don't live in a land or a time where, you know, where we barter, you know? It isn't like you go into McAllister's and you give them a little bit of honey and they give you a little bit of grain. You know, this isn't how things work here. I understand. It's all about finances. It's all about money. And all of these things basically can be boiled down in our world, in our time, as cash. But giving a tenth, giving that to the Lord, not so that he'd be appeased, not so that he'd get you off your back and that you can now play with your other 90%. No, give your first 10% to God so that he can make great things out of it and bless. He wants to be a blessing. First fruits. It's a beautiful, beautiful concept. There's three areas, I think, that we really can commit to the Lord, where we can see that first fruits does pay back in full. Do you guys remember? I almost was going to do it again for you tonight, but I thought, no, I don't want to be redundant. But I was going to bring out the illustration of the big rocks. Do you guys remember that? From a few weeks back, we talked about time management. And we talked about how we had a bunch of rocks in this one jar, little stones. And we had these softballs, and we tried stuffing them in. And we could only get like one and a half in. We couldn't get the third one in. But when we put the three in here first on the empty one, then we put the small rocks on top, they all fit. And it's almost like a visual trick almost. It feels like how can that be so different? And the reality is that when we prioritize and we put the big things that we know we really need in first, God ends up making room for the other stuff. It's almost as if he multiplies it. And if we could take seriously giving God our first fruits of our time, he will allow for you to have so much time to still play video games. That's the kind of God he is. All right, go get a high score. You spent your time. Another area is talents. If you give your first fruits of your talents, there's no telling what God might give in return. Of course, there's high-profile athletes like Tim Tebow that are very outspoken about the word and about life and about God, and I think God has blessed, returned a blessing upon people like him. But probably a more practical example is just the people that you know, like your parents, that have done. They've gone to school, and they have given their talent to God in a way, and say, God, I want you to use it. And there's people like that in your church, in your home, in your family, that end up really living out a life, I think, that you want to live. And when we give our talents to the Lord, there's always time. If it's maybe it's your art, maybe it's your knowledge, or maybe it's web design, or maybe it's playing in a worship band or something like that. I don't know what it is, but when you give your first to the Lord, it's like he always multiplies it and gives more. I gotta tell you a really cool story that happened to me this week. And in order for you to really fully appreciate the story, you need to understand a little bit of background. God's been blessing this ministry for years, and we are we're reaching new heights. It's always like God raises up a lot of excitement, and then there's like this financial crunch that we hit, and then God somehow blesses that, and then we end up going a little further, and then we plateau out, and then we really need somebody to be hired here, and then we ended up hiring Ben and Joe, and we didn't have the money for it, but somehow God just kind of took care of that, and now it's just been that way all along, where God blesses and then he tests. And it just seems like this is one of those years where the test kind of came. And our board met with us earlier this year, and you got to know that we've started, as you know, we forgot to pass these KFC buckets. We'll do it at the end. maybe. You got to know this, that God has told us in so many ways that we really have such an open door in the Philippines. We need to be starting campus ministries in the Philippines. And we started campus ministries in the Philippines when we didn't have enough money to really fully even support this place. But we felt like that was kind of a first fruits act. Like God says, I want you to give me your best. What's your best place to do ministry? The best opportunities to do ministry? I want you to invest there. I'll take care of the rest. Somehow, we end up getting enough money to carry on a campus ministry there, a second campus ministry there, a third campus ministry there. And now we've really gotten to a point where it's like, okay, maybe we've gone a little too far, because now God's really blessed with this ministry, raising up Phil. And Phil's our new full-time staff, who just a few weeks ago we just laid hands on and ordained him to be full-time. He's a first fruit of our ministry. Never before has somebody come up through our ministry and become full-time doing a variety of work within this ministry that's never been done before. He's a first fruit. And at the beginning of this semester, I felt confident we need him, felt confident we need our three ministries in the Philippines, and I felt confident that we need to start more campus ministries in the Philippines. And the board looked at me and said, no, we don't have the money, Pete. As a matter of fact, we're going to run out of money, what we currently have, by the end of the year, unless we get some more in here. We're really kind of strapped. And I was like, aw. Really? We were just having so much fun. And that's kind of what ends up happening. You know, I just kind of do ministry and put my nose to the plow, and it's just kind of like fun, and then all of a sudden I look up, we need money. It's like, oh yeah, there's that part. This is really a cool story. The board said, we really need to try over the course of this next year. It'd really be nice if we could get enough money covered from maybe churches and individuals that would say, hey, together, let's lump our money together and let's cover one of those ministries in the Philippines. One of those ministries in the Philippines costs about $700 each month. And that's pretty cheap when you think about it. It's an entire family, and it covers room rental, and it covers ministry expenses and all that kind of stuff, right? So I'm thinking, okay, I got to try to get $700 a month for that. The board said on our end, Phil's going to have to try to raise some money on his end. And we're going to have to try to raise some money on our end. And on our end, we need to try to get $1,000 a month to cover what we would like to promise Phil. Now, a lot of you guys are going to be getting jobs, and you're going to want to start at $30,000 or $40,000. $1,000 a month, if you add it up, that's not a whole lot of money, okay? But it's still a lot more money than I've got. So I'm thinking, okay, I need to try to get $1,000 a month for Phil, $700 a month for another ministry to be covered. That's $1,700 a month. Aw, I don't like doing that. Well, this, in case you didn't know, was the first winter retreat that I've missed in 15 years. And I was really sad about it, but I was kind of encouraged because a friend of mine, a campus minister from the University of Arkansas, heard about our ministries in the Philippines, and he says, you know, would you be willing to come down and just talk to our board about the ministries in the Philippines? Because I think I'd like to try to encourage them to at least consider giving some to help with you guys. And I'm thinking, I'm on my way. Right? So I hop in the car, and I took Paulette with me, and we had a great weekend, kind of a good chance for us to get away and go down to this board meeting. And things go well, and I present what it's about. And on my way back, I go to this hotel. I'm in this hotel Saturday night. The phone rings, and it's Mike. He says, I thought you'd like to know before you went to bed tonight that the board overwhelmingly decided that they're going to take the entire ministry and they're going to have $700 a month covered starting in June. Yeah, that's awesome. So I was like, it's kind of getting emotional as I'm preparing for this talk just 2 days later and saying, you know, we didn't really have leftover money to start the Philippines. We just did it because we knew it was a first fruit right thing to do. And God's like, let me add to it. And it isn't like we had extra money floating around, which is why we hired Phil. As a matter of fact, it's quite the opposite. But I have noticed one thing this semester as I have called 15 different churches to see if I can get into their doors and just talk to their missions committees and see if they would consider support. Almost all of them have gotten back to me and said, not now, it's not a good time, not sure it's worth your time to come, appreciate it, we'll pray for you. That's always a good one. But one thing I've learned and I've kind of come to realize over the course of these last few weeks is this, and God seems to be just teaching me along with you guys as we hit this feast tonight. I don't like to talk about money. As you know, I hardly ever do talk about money. But this is the topic tonight. It's first fruits. And God's doing some pretty cool things this week within this ministry about this very topic that we really need to address. And I can't help but think that maybe the reason that God isn't blessing some of those churches opening their doors is because that's fundraising. And fundraising is finding people that have extra money to give to you. But first fruits is finding people that are directly being affected by the fills of this world, by the people within these doors that do understand the immense value that Phil brings to this team. And I think I would be doing you an incredible disservice, if I was to never talk to you about the responsibility that you have as adults from now to the rest of your life to be a first fruits kind of a person that's going to invest maturely into the things that God has before you. And so I'm going to challenge you with the first fruits concept tonight. And I don't know, maybe we within this room can take care of this week, this full amount that we were looking for. As I've been doing phone calls around the state, maybe God's saying, right under your nose, you need to just give people an opportunity to do first fruits. So that's what I'm going to do. Some of you have, very few of you I know, have really decent jobs, where you could say, you know what, a first fruit for me is $100. Others of you, and again, I think this is a small number, might be like I was in college. And there was 1 year in college where I didn't have a job, and I was on the basketball team of this little Bible college. And I remember going through the food line at lunch because I had paid for that. I didn't have a dinner pass, but what I'd do is I'd fill my pockets with things during the lunch run so that I have something to eat for dinner. And my mom gave me, out of the kindness of her heart, $5 a week. That was what I had to live on. I lived in some guy's basement. It was a friend of mine, and I ate two meals there, and I didn't really need anything else. And I remember in that moment thinking, this is beyond ridiculous. Like, wouldn't you agree? $5. And I remember telling God, I know that you challenge, you say test me on these things. And so I did. I was like, you know what? I'm going to test the Lord. And at that point, I was thinking, what's a tenth of, it was 50 cents? Are we talking about 50 cents? I'm going to give a dollar. Because at that point, I could have given the whole $5, really. I mean, what's the big deal? So I thought, okay, I'm going to give a dollar to the Lord each week. And I, like, we had a chapel service, and I dropped that dollar in, and I'm like, I got four left. And God just really did show himself faithful to me in that year, in crazy, crazy ways, where I was just like, God really took care of me. Maybe you're as poor as that. I doubt it, but maybe you are. Most of you are somewhere in between where you don't really have a steady income. You get some money this week and some money next. And I know how it is in college. There's nothing steady about it, right? I get that. So I was thinking, what would be a good challenge for you? Those people in the middle. I was thinking a value meal costs a little over $6. Is that about right? And if you gave up a value meal a week, then that'd be $25. And I don't know what God's telling you. God could tell you something different, but I'm gonna tell you $25 is a challenge I'm gonna throw out. And before I go any further, I want to let you know, if you're visiting tonight, this isn't for you. Okay. I want to tell you also that if you're a believer here, that maybe you attend here, but you attend somewhere else. Maybe this is about your home church. I don't want this to be about a fundraiser for Encounter. That's not what I'm doing here tonight. I'm talking about first fruits, okay? And first fruits is a concept that is biblical. It is of the Lord, and he doesn't want your leftovers. And I think that if we're faithful about throwing into the pot the first fruits, the first $25, the first whatever, he does so much more with that. And we don't seem to miss it so much because it was first. When we do it, when we are talking about leftovers, yeah, it's a little bit more painful. When it's first, it's just first. It's just we don't even think about it. And God does great and crazy things with that. And let's be honest. And this isn't a slam. This is how I am too. There are some things that's worth doing leftover with, and that's kind of what the KFC bucket is. What's left over in our pockets we kind of throw in there. It's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about maybe for the rest of us here tonight to at least consider, maybe for the first time, filling out a little form that says, you know what, I'm going to give my first fruits to the Lord. Maybe it's $15, maybe it's 10, maybe it's 5, maybe it's 25, I don't know. That's between you and God. But we have this cool opportunity. Ben put together this, it's this ACH it's called, which means it's electronic debit. And if you're like me, I like forget. Like, I'll commit 1 week and be like all excited about it, but then 4 months into it, I forget and I end up, you know, forgetting. So we have this opportunity to fill out. It's what's within your envelope tonight is a little form. And here's what I'm going to ask you to do is maybe this week. I'm not going to ask for anything tonight. And I'm not going to hound anybody if you don't do it. This is just a thing between you and the Lord. But I think it would be kind of neat to see what God might do to finish this week off. And what we're going to do is we're going to take an offering next week. And if you want to drop that same envelope with your card filled out inside into it, that'll be the time that we collect it, is next week. Cool? You guys understand that? See if I forgot anything. God does not like leftovers. He blesses our first fruits. That's the message for tonight. In every area of your life, if it's relationships or if it's money, or if it's talents or if it's time. So that's what I want to communicate. Now here's what I want to do as we end. Does everyone have their envelope with them? If you do, pull it out. Let's all stand together. And like I said before, maybe this is for your home church, or maybe this isn't necessarily for here, but whatever that concept is, I'm guessing all of us here need to be challenged in first fruits in some way, shape, or form. Time or relationships included. And what I would like us to do right now is I would like us to be seriously letting the Lord know, because he's watching, he's looking, he knows, he sees. And I'm wondering if we'd be serious in taking that envelope right now. If you got it in your hands, please get it in your hands. If you don't have it in your hands, put it in your hands. And just like on First Fruits morning, the priest would hold it up to the Lord, I would like us to hold it up to the Lord. And as we hold it up to the Lord, I'd like to just pray, okay? This is our wave offering to him. God, would you be pleased? Would you be pleased with what aroma comes from this wave offering? Would you be pleased with what we are offering to you? God, there's a lot of us here that we might be getting income from parents, and we don't want to be untrue to what they're giving. So maybe there's conversations with parents that need to take place, or maybe there's certainly conversation with you that needs to take place. But God, we want to be serious about letting you know that we know that you're a God that cares about our first, our best, and that you're going to do something greater with it than we can even imagine. Thank you for these feasts, for how we're learning more about your character. Thank you that you have been risen from the dead, that you are the first of its kind. We are so humbled to know that you gave up yourself. You gave your son, who was your best, for us. And help us to think about how we can give our best to you this week. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. God bless you guys. Have a good evening. See you next week.